The Savior's Use of the Old Testament by Thomas F. Olmsted. After his baptism and wilderness preparations for his mortal ministry, Jesus returned to Nazareth, the town where he was raised. There, according to Luke, he gave his Jewish neighbors his first public discourse. This sermon is a model for understanding how Jesus chose to use the scriptures of his day. Jesus was a regular participator in scripture recitation at worship services, so he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and stood up for to read. Luke chapter 4, verse 16. As Jesus took his place before the people, an attendant removed the scroll of Isaiah from its special place in the synagogue and handed it to him. Carefully and respectfully, Jesus unrolled it until he came to the following passage and read, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He hath sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord." Luke chapter 4, verses 18 and 19. With great power and feeling, he must have read this passage. Jesus then rolled the scroll up, returned it to the attendant, and sat down. With all eyes upon him, he announced, "This day is this scripture fulfilled in your ears." Luke chapter 4, verse 21. With unmistakable clarity and boldness, the Savior proclaimed that in him was the fulfillment of this 750-year-old messianic prophecy of the Old Testament. Stunned, everyone wondered at his gracious words and marveled at the power of his sayings. Luke chapter 4, verse 22. They knew him and his family and had heard rumors of his many miracles in other cities. Jesus discerned their unspoken desire that he also show them a mighty miracle. Luke chapter 4, verses 22 and 23. He rebuked their faithlessness, calling their attention to two Old Testament stories. "But I tell you of a truth, many widows were in Israel in the days of Elias," or Elijah, "when the heaven was shut up 3 years and 6 months, when great famine was throughout all the land. But unto none of them was Elias sent, save unto Sarepthah, a city of Sidon, unto a woman that was a widow. And many lepers were in Israel at the time of Elisha the prophet, and none of them was cleansed, saving Naaman the Syrian." Luke chapter 4, verses 25 through 27. This stern reprimand filled them with anger. How dare he say that two Gentiles had greater faith than they? This event offers at least three insights into the Savior's use of the Old Testament scripture. First, Jesus confirmed the words of Old Testament prophets and his role in fulfilling them. Second, he affirmed the events of the Old Testament as historical fact and used them to teach eternal truths. And third, Jesus exemplified great respect for the law of Moses as given in the Old Testament. Jesus and the words of the prophets. Jesus loved to quote the words of Old Testament prophets, and since Jesus Christ and Jehovah, the Lord God of the Old Testament, are in fact the same person, when Jesus quoted the words of the prophets, he was often actually quoting himself. The Savior quoted from the writings of Jeremiah, Daniel, Zechariah, Hosea, and Malachi. He was especially fond of using the words of the prophet Isaiah. The New Testament records more than 30 references from these six prophets, 19 of which come directly from the mouth of the Savior. See Bible Dictionary Quotations, pages 756 to 759. Sometimes he told his listeners which prophet he was quoting. For example, Jesus named Daniel once, Matthew chapter 24, verse 15, Daniel chapter 9, verse 27, and Esaias, or Isaiah, three times, Matthew chapter 13, verse 14, Isaiah chapter 6, verses 9 and 10, Matthew chapter 15, verses 7 through 9, Isaiah chapter 29, verse 13, and Luke chapter 4, verses 17 through 19, Isaiah chapter 61, verses 1 and 2. Other times he used the words of a prophet without specifying where they were from, often simply saying, "It is written." In this way, the Lord gave the authority of the Old Testament to his teaching and prophesying. His use of Jeremiah chapter 7, verse 11, "It is written, My house shall be called a house of prayer, but ye have made it a den of thieves," Matthew chapter 21, verse 13, gave scriptural justification for his second cleansing of the temple. Shortly before his arrest, he said to his apostles, "For it is written, I will smite the shepherd, and the sheep shall be scattered." Mark chapter 14, verse 27, Zechariah chapter 13, verse 7. His apostles would have likely recognized that his words were from the Old Testament, and in this way he assured them that what was about to take place was according to God's will. Finally, Jesus sometimes incorporated phrases from Old Testament scripture without mentioning a source. For example, when Jesus told some disciples of John the Baptist, "Go your way and tell John what things ye have seen and heard, how that the blind see, the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, the deaf hear." Luke chapter 7, verse 22. He was paraphrasing Isaiah chapter 35, verses 5 and 6. When Jesus prophesied of his coming in the clouds with great power and glory, Mark chapter 13, verse 26, he was incorporating language from Daniel, chapter 7, verses 13 and 14. Thus, his listeners who were familiar with the Old Testament would have found it a comforting similarity between his words and the scriptures. Jesus used Old Testament history. Much of what the Lord taught was either based on or supported by historical events described in the Old Testament. He used them not simply to teach the facts of history, but to support and highlight principles of truth. For example, Sabbath day. When the Pharisees complained that his disciples had violated the law by plucking and eating ears of corn on the Sabbath, Jesus used an incident from the Old Testament to teach about the Sabbath. "Have ye not read what David did when he was an hungered, and they that were with him? How he entered into the house of God and did eat the showbread, which was not lawful for him to eat, neither for them which were with him, but only for the priests. Or have ye not read in the law how that on the Sabbath day the priests in the temple profane the Sabbath and are blameless?" Matthew chapter 12, verses 3 through 6. The incident cited by the Savior is from 1 Samuel chapter 21 and was used to make the point that the Son of Man is Lord even of the Sabbath day, Matthew chapter 12, verse 8. It is also worth noting that Jesus used the words of an Old Testament prophet on this occasion to rebuke the Pharisees. "But if ye had known what this meaneth, I will have mercy and not sacrifice, ye would not have condemned the guiltless," Matthew chapter 12, verse 7. Also, Hosea chapter 6, verse 6. Persecution. Throughout Old Testament history, God's prophets were persecuted for their testimony. 2 Chronicles chapter 36, verses 14 through 16, Jeremiah chapter 37, verses 15 through 21, 1 Nephi chapter 1, verse 20. The Lord referred to the persecutions of old several times in order to give insight into the hearts of those who persecuted him. When some leaders of the Jews told Jesus, "If we had been in the days of our fathers, we would not have been partakers with them in the blood of the prophets," he unveiled their hypocrisy by saying, "Ye be witnesses unto yourselves that ye are the children of them which kill the prophets," Matthew chapter 23, verses 30 and 31. Jesus then foretold the fate of his own disciples whom he would send forth to testify unto the world. "Behold, I send unto you prophets, and some of them ye shall kill and crucify, and some of them shall ye scourge in your synagogues and persecute them from city to city, that upon you may come all the righteous blood shed upon the earth," Matthew chapter 23, verses 34 and 35. Jesus then ended this prophetic denunciation by specifically mentioning Abel and Zacharias, two Old Testament prophets who had been martyred. Bible Dictionary under Abel and Zacharias, pages 600 and 790. Judgment. Jesus used Old Testament examples of the wicked being destroyed to demonstrate some of the standards by which we will be judged. During a discourse on judgment, some of the scribes and Pharisees asked Jesus for a sign. He called them an evil and adulterous generation for seeking a sign. Matthew chapter 12, verses 38 to 42. And to drive his point home, he declared that the Gentile people of the city of Nineveh, see Jonah chapter 3, verses 1 through 10, and the Gentile queen of the south, see 1 Kings chapter 10, verses 1 through 10, would be better off at judgment day than them. When speaking to his disciples about the judgment that will come at his second coming and how one might prepare for it, the Lord referred to two Old Testament events, the stories of Noah and Lot. But of that day, the second coming, the hour knoweth no man. But as the days of Noah, or Noah, were so, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. For as in the days that were before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage, until the day that Noah entered into the ark, and knew not until the flood came and took them all away, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. Matthew chapter 24, verses 36 through 39. Luke's report of this same moment adds, "Likewise also, as it was in the days of Lot, they did eat, they drank, they bought, they sold, they planted, they builded. But the same day that Lot went out of Sodom, it rained fire and brimstone from heaven and destroyed them all. Even thus shall it be in the day when the Son of Man is revealed. Remember Lot's wife." Luke chapter 17, verses 28 through 30 and verse 32. Jesus and the Law of Moses. "Think not that I am come to destroy the law or the prophets," Jesus said. "I am not come to destroy, but to fulfill." Matthew chapter 5, verse 17. The meaning of this verse may be amplified by an alternate translation. "Don't think that I have come to abolish the Torah or the prophets. I have come not to abolish, but to complete, to make their meaning full." The Hebrew word Torah, which literally means teaching or doctrine, is rendered in the New Testament by the Greek word nomes, which means law. Therefore, what Jesus was conveying is that whenever he spoke of or taught from the law of Moses, he would render a fuller or more complete meaning. The law had been given to Moses by Jehovah, who was now upon the earth in his mortal ministry as Jesus Christ. Therefore, it was his prerogative to make the meaning of the law, the teachings, and the doctrine full and complete. Jesus used the law of Moses as it was intended to purify lives and teach of salvation through the Messiah. The law of Moses, correctly understood and applied, would raise the natural man to a spiritual level and fortify him against the cunning of the devil. When tempted by Satan during his 40 days of fasting in the wilderness, Matthew chapter 4, verses 1 through 11, Jesus responded to the temptations by referring to Old Testament scriptures. "It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God." Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 3. "It is written again, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God." Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 16. And, "For it is written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve." Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 13, chapter 10, verse 20, and Joshua chapter 24, verse 14. When the Pharisees came to him seeking to justify the way they practiced divorce, he upheld the sanctity of the marriage covenant from the writings of Moses, using Genesis chapter 1, verse 27, and chapter 2, verse 24. "Have ye not read," he chided them, for he knew full well that they had read the writings of Moses, "that he which made them at the beginning made them male and female, and said, for this cause shall a man leave father and mother, and shall cleave to his wife, and they twain shall be one flesh. Wherefore they are no more twain, but one flesh. What therefore God hath joined together, let no man put asunder." Matthew chapter 19, verses 4 through 6. Using passages of Scripture that the Pharisees pridefully considered themselves to be experts in, Jesus confounded them by teaching the true doctrine intended in the law of Moses. In Luke chapter 14, Jesus relied on principles from the law of Moses. Exodus chapter 23, verse 4, Deuteronomy chapter 22, verse 4, to defend his healing on the Sabbath day. When the rich young man asked what he must do to have eternal life, Jesus referred to several of the Ten Commandments found in Exodus chapter 20. See Mark chapter 10, verses 17 through 19. In Matthew chapter 18, verses 15 through 17, Jesus said that the law of witnesses, Deuteronomy chapter 17, verse 6, also chapter 19, verse 15, should be applied in resolving disputes. He also used the law of witnesses in John chapter 5, verses 31 to 38, to defend declaration of his divine sonship, and in John chapter 8, verses 1 through 11, to withhold judgment of a woman taken in adultery. Luke chose to tell us of two incidents that, like bookends, at the beginning and the end of his mortal ministry, illustrate Jesus' role in fulfilling the law of Moses. This day is the scripture fulfilled, that is, completed in its meaning, made full in your ears. Luke chapter 4, verse 21. He said at his first public discourse, then in an upper room following his resurrection, he said to his apostles, "These are the words which I spake unto you while I was yet with you, that all things must be fulfilled which were written in the law of Moses, and in the prophets, and in the Psalms concerning me." Then opened he their understanding, that they might understand the Scriptures, that is, the Old Testament. Luke chapter 24, verses 44 and 45. Jesus did not reject the law of Moses, the Torah, as found in the Old Testament. Rather, he used it to affirm its own truthfulness and gave a more complete meaning. Testifying of the Savior. The prophet Nephi has counseled us that the words of the Old Testament will be plain unto all those that are filled with the spirit of prophecy. 2 Nephi chapter 25, verse 4. The apostle John has clarified that the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. Revelation chapter 19, verse 10. Therefore, a testimony of the Savior is crucial to the understanding the Old Testament. The Savior used the Old Testament to show that He is its central figure. To understand the Old Testament, we must surely look for Him on every page. For Moses did not only testify of His coming, but also all the holy prophets. They have testified of the coming of Christ, and have looked forward, and have rejoiced in His day which is to come. And behold, He is God, and He is with them, and He did manifest Himself unto them, that they were redeemed by Him, and they gave unto Him glory. Helaman chapter 8, verses 16 and 22 and 23. Using the Old Testament as the Savior used it means that we will also use it to testify of Him. Sidebar: Jesus and the Old Testament. As Jesus testified of Moses, so likewise did Moses testify of Christ, although much of Moses' testimony is not in our present-day Bible. But obviously, it was in the Scriptures available to the people of Jesus' day. When critics attacked him, the Lord responded by saying to them, "Search the Scriptures, for in them ye think ye have eternal life, and they are they which testify of me." John chapter 5, verse 39. He never would have said that if the Scriptures available to the people of that day did not testify of Him. Elder Mark E. Peterson, 1900 to 1984, of the Quorum of the Twelve Apostles. Moses, Man of Miracles, 1977, pages 148 and 149. The Psalms. No book in the Old Testament is more Christian in its inner sense or more fully attested as such by the use made of it than the Psalms. Out of a total of 283 direct citations from the Old Testament in the New Testament, 116 have been counted from this one book. Bible Dictionary, Psalms, pages 754 and 755. It should not surprise us, therefore, that Jesus loved and often quoted from or alluded to the Psalms in His teaching. New Testament references to Jesus' use of the Psalms. Matthew chapter 5, verse 5, "Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth." Psalms number 37, verse 11. Matthew chapter 5, verse 35, "The city of the great king." Psalms number 48, verse 2. Matthew chapter 21, verse 16, "Out of the mouth of babes and sucklings." Psalm number 8, verse 2. Matthew chapter 21, verse 42, the stone which the builders rejected. Psalms number 118, verses 22 and 23. Matthew chapter 22, verse 44, the Lord said unto my Lord, sit thou on my right hand. Psalms number 110, verse 1. Matthew chapter 23, verse 39, blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. Psalm number 118, verse 26. Mark chapter 15, verse 34, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Psalms number 22, verse 11. Luke chapter 13, verse 37, depart from me, all ye workers of iniquity. Psalm number 6, verse 8. Luke chapter 23, verse 46, into thy hands I commend my spirit. Psalm number 31, verse 5. John chapter 10, verse 34, I said, ye are gods. Psalm number 82, verse 6. John chapter 13, verse 18, he that eateth bread with me hath lifted up his heel against me. Psalm number 41, verse 9. John chapter 15, verse 25, they hated me without a cause. Psalm number 35, verse 19. Gospel topics, Jesus Christ, Old Testament. Note, Thomas F. Olmsted is a member of the Palo Verde Ward, Gilbert, Arizona, Highland Stake. End of note. End of the article, The Savior's Use of the Old Testament, by Thomas F. Olmsted.